Girl, Junior just showed me Bulla Boy in his phone.
What you mean? He take picture of that good for nothing boy?
Shh, you don't want Bulla hair. You say that. You know she always say that's my good child.
So what he doing in Junior phone?
Oh, he there because the police looking for him. He on that wanted list.
Wanted persons in your phone now?
Yes, child. And when police want find anybody quick, after something happened, they can send picture direct to your phone. Go to Google Play or App Store and search for Crack Crime Bahamas, then pick install and it will go straight to your phone.
There is also a section on missing persons.
Yes, girl. Everybody needs to get this app so police can tell us right away when these people go missing. Just like an alert system.
Yes, it has numbers for Crime Stoppers Bahamas so you can call and nobody knows you. Call directly to Miami and give the information without giving your name or anything about you. I tried the other day and when I hear Junior and his boys talking about where they hide those guns, I walk quick around the corner and call that number.
Call 328-8477 from Nassau or 242-300-8477 from the Family Islands.
This is Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news and intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversations. 96.9 FM. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the views of the management and staff of Guardian Radio.
Good morning and welcome to Guardian Radio AM. Today is finally Friday, January 17th, a little after 11 o'clock in the morning. Once again, this is C.A. Nuri, and I shall be your host for the day. Today, we're going to have an open line Friday. That means you can call in and speak to what is in the news and also what is trending on social media or things that you are excited about, vexed about. General, want to know my opinion on that. I had Aaron Green stay back with me. Thank you very much, Aaron Green. Because one or two things I said, Aaron, I want to talk about in the news. One thing in the news that struck me that I want to put out there, followed up by the Prime Minister's despondence or his angst, his, what word he used? What the headline for the Prime Minister? His dismay. Here was today. Disappointment? No, that's yesterday's.
Yeah, that's yesterday's.
Today's morning.
Yeah, I got it right here.
I just glimpsed it when I was driving past.
Davis fires back at TUC.
No, that's yesterday, man. I don't want to see that.
That's today's.
The one with, okay, I'll tell you what I want to talk
about.
The one
from yesterday, the disappointed one? PM disappointed in TUC strike?
No, not either. Okay, let me say what I'm concerned about and what I wanted to relent about. Lament about. That's what the Prime Minister used. He's lamenting. Yes, that's the headline we had lamenting. Anyway, in Abaco, it seems that there was a case of a lady, could be the mother, abusing a child.
Right. The story of the 20-year-old woman who, the 20-year-old woman
yeah,
who they
the Prime
alleged.
Minister respond. I saw a headline where the Prime Minister respond about
to that incident specifically.
No, he said a lot of child abuse happening inside the Bahamas, so which I wanted to concentrate on, spend some time on, because I am too concerned about child abuse. And then the curse of poverty and how that impacts young children. Curse of being living in a depressed environment, inner city environment, and how that impacts on children. This issue seems to be a young mother. They say 20 year old. Apparently, she lives in Abaco. And my concern is, of course, the abuse is horrendous. I'm hoping that the law prevails and then that she faces the most seriousness of the crime, right? The penalty. But this particular young woman, very young, decided to record herself abusing her child. I want to sink in for a minute. She set up her camera, a phone, whatever it is, and decided to record herself abusing her child. Now, I'm trying to think on what type of mind frame a person could be in, particularly a mother. And I don't want to judge mothers separate from fathers, because parents is parents, right? But so let's say, what kind of mind frame a parent, that Aaron just found a news article I wanted to read. What kind of parent would record themselves abusing her child in such a vile manner? Was she recording it to send to somebody? That means we have even a more serious problem. Was she recording herself for her own benefit to watch again? Which tells a story of mental illness. I'm trying to see what would cause a mother to say, you know what, I'm going to set up my phone. I'm going to record it. And not just record it, apparently sent it out. Right? And that's one point. That's one point. Now, my second point, Aaron. The police, the people at social services has warned Bahamians time and time again not to send...
Not to share, distribute, disseminate, or send any media, video, or photo, or even audio that contains or purports to contain child rape, child sex abuse, right? Child molestation. Even if the children are innocently playing with each other, it is not to be recorded, and it is certainly an offense to share said recordings.
Any naked pictures of any children at all, the social service and the police has repeated it again and again, and tell you the penalty and it's a crime again and again. So yeah, move now slightly from the initial conversation about the mother and her mind frame, mindset, to now Bahamians. A Bahamian uploaded a video on social media globally. That means the whole world can see it on social media.
See, because I could understand receiving the video, opening it because I don't know what it is, and then immediately sending it to whatever police contact I have in WhatsApp.
Yeah, but I get that.
Right, I'm just saying.
I agree. I agree with you, and thanks for reiterating that, because there are times we all are sent things. You say, what do I do? But imagine, Aaron, I got one separate story.
Mm-hmm.
Imagine someone sending you the same video,
mm-hmm.
right? You realize that it's a crime. And people like me, who's scary, right? Because I know that the United States is search your phone when you go into Miami and thing,
mm-hmm.
right? And even if you erase it, it's be on your phone. I erase a bunch of things and I say, how come they're still here? And I erased this from my phone 2, 3, 4 years ago. And then I realized I have to erase it 3, 4, 5 times because it goes from one box to the next box. So technically, it's never properly erased. It's always in your phone someplace unless you scrub this phone altogether. So I'm picturing people like me who like travel, right? And if I receive a photo, video, I start panicking, you know. I get terrified because I say, Lord, I'm going to jail because this person trying to set me up because they sent it to me because I cannot erase this entirely. So it's on my phone. Like, imagine me going to U.S. Custom and they happen to say, let me see your phone. And they go through all these erased things and say, how do I explain that?
Let me put you in a state of pure panic.
Okay.
Imagine now that an individual can embed pornographic, they can embed files of pornographic content in an image without you being aware that they're in the image. So somebody has just sent you a picture of them on vacation, or they send a picture of a world famous monument. And you just la 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 la, look at this beautiful picture. When you are normally traveling across borders and the authorities say, hey, look here, let's take a look at your phone, just in case.
Yeah.
And they discover that you had a picture that you didn't know had embedded in it pornographic content, criminal content. Like this new realm that we're in, we really have not prepared Bahamians to navigate it.
And that's why I want to have this conversation also for today. But see, back to my narrative, somebody shared it on Facebook. Not just forwarded, because they apparently they was forwarding it through WhatsApp, because people think you have some kind of anonymity on WhatsApp. So they've been forwarding crazy on WhatsApp. But move it from WhatsApp to your, from moving it to your personal friend and say, hey, you know this could be getting problems with this, right? To a mainframe, a public platform
yes. where you can't control, well, you can control who sees it, right? Because you could put your settings to only you could see it, or only the people you tag could see it. But still, you don't own the platform.
You don't own the platform. When it uploads, it's theirs.
Yeah.
It's the image is theirs.
Yeah.
So imagine this person felt comfortable enough, not have anxiety like sensible people like me and you, right? Comfortable enough to say, oh, I'm trying to help. I'm trying to be a good Samaritan. I am not like this person who did it. Mm-hmm. I'm going to upload this for the world to see, because definitely Bahamian saw it and then made comments. And then people say, oh, they've given comments of it. And of course, they download it and then they start sharing it and doing comment. When I see posts like that where people upload certain things, I don't even comment on the page. I don't click on the video because it links to me. It traces to me. Mm-hmm. I don't want the U.S. people to say, see Ainry involved in it. No, I'm not associated with no people like that at all. Now,
is it possible that somebody has lost trust in public systems and says, hey, if I don't share this publicly, it is possible that it will be hidden from the general public?
And I can acknowledge that fair. Nicole, I see you. I come right now, right? However, once you upload the picture, once you share the picture, the video, you are now a child pornographer. The people who clicked on to the video and watch it are now a part of that thing. They're child pornographers, right? You share it to say, let me share it to my friend.
See, now
you are now sharing child pornography.
What is required now is that we need the state to present us with legislation that appropriately and effectively responds to the changing technological landscape, right? Because I am on Facebook. Mm-hmm. Things pop up on my feed. Mm-hmm. Videos start playing without me having to press play. Mm-hmm. So am I participating in a criminal ring if I open my phone and a video automatically starts playing, right? What are the rules that we have to change, and what are the rules that we have to put in place to properly regulate this space and then to be able to enforce the rules that exist?
And I'm going to the call right now, Aaron, but now that we know it's a problem, there needs to be some type of education now, right? Because clearly, either Bahamians are naive, not exposed to the various laws internationally, particularly mm-hmm. regarding child pornography.
And
our government, knowing the type of people we are, we're not necessarily corrupt. We just like, we showboat. We like do media. We like to be the first person to expose things. So innocently, as we try to navigate this social media world, we want to be the one to say, see there, this person is the devil, not necessarily understanding that you now become a part of this demonic system. And if that is so, our government has a duty of care. When I say government, not either.
Why not?
No. See, I'm talking about the system. I'm talking about social services and whoever, child care protection and civic organizations.
And the attorney general's.
Yeah,
attorney general's office and urban renewal, right? In the Ministry of Education and Technical and Vocational Training, right? It's a multi-pronged approach is required. So when you say government, I appreciate what you're saying, mm-hmm. the system itself, but also the people that operate the system.
Let's go to the caller, because I see the caller keep on calling and hanging up. Let me have him contribute, and then we'll go back in and dissect this, and then
you want me to read from the article?
And read from the article, and then recommend some things, because mm-hmm. sometimes our government tend to be slow in terms of response. They don't see the urgency. There's some urgency now because Bohemians shared it, and not one, two, three, scores of Bohemians shared it, thinking that they're doing something nice. So that means we need to do some kind of educational thing. Mm-hmm. We need to educate our
and public. We need to create mechanisms so that people can do the right thing when yes. they feel compelled to do the right
talk
thing.
About that, you give your recommendations. Yeah, too. Yeah. Go ahead, caller. Guardian Radio AM. This is C. Anery.
Yes. Good morning, Mr. Newey. Good morning, Ms. Green.
Morning.
Yeah, this is a serious time you're living in. I hope everybody gets the help and the education they need, man, because this is a serious time you're living in. For two, y'all ever hear about something central? Y'all ever hear about something called Pegasus?
No.
Computer system.
It's like a spy tool that
Are you going to say the U.S. government been documenting and recording and documenting every call in the Bahamas for several decades now?
But it's not the U.S. government who developed Pegasus, but Pegasus is a very serious program thing. You'll need to look into that. But before I want to request something from you all, please, if y'all don't mind. Is it possible if you have the producer to replay? Because Dwight had him play something that the Prime Minister spoke about banks, right? And the reason why, if it's possible, is because I want to make sure I heard what I heard. If he spoke the way I think he spoke, because see, the Prime Minister is an individual who not only has the power to make the necessary adjustments and changes, but he's the one who has been hired to make the solutions, right? He's mm-hmm. the only one in the country. If there's one person, he's the one person who should have the answers and, you know, the authority to do things, right? So he shouldn't be the one be asking questions about this and that and how things should be done. And he can't understand certain things, you know what I mean? So, I mean, I don't mind if y'all could please have the producer replay that thing about banks, because, I mean, you know what I mean? Because that's a prime example what I've been saying before, how our elected officials, when they speak to the public, as if they are civilian, you know, that kind of way. I don't know if he was pulling that. The former Prime Minister, Perry Christie, when he used to speak as a Prime Minister in one aspect and then the next, when he used to speak as Perry Christie, you know, that kind of way. But like I said before, that is absolutely ridiculous for the individual in power, the man with the ability to make the necessary changes, and the man who was there to make the solution, to be asking them type of questions and to be speaking in that type of way. But lastly, sometime throughout the year, man, I'd appreciate it if one of y'all could do on your show what is objective versus subjective. You know, that kind of way, because I feel as if the public needs to understand that, because we all need to push for a society that is based on more objectivity, more objective thought as versus subjective. You know what I mean? We all should pull for that. There's no reason why we you know what I mean, any of us should be against that kind of thing. But like I said before, I appreciate it the producer could clear that thing about that banking thing, man, because that's something to hear. Thank you very much. I hope you all have a good weekend.
You're welcome. And for those who want to follow that conversation, I'm sure the Guardian clip includes information included in today's paper, Guardian headline, PM pledges to end unfair business practices. And that article continues on to page 5. In today's Tribune, the same story is carried under the headline, banks criticized as, quote, barrier to progress, close quotes.
Good. So we may be able to read that article too. But let's go to the...
Yeah, maybe at some point.
The highlight, PM laments.
All right. So the article that Mr. Newey is looking for, PM laments rise in cases of child abuse. It is in today's Tribune. Prime Minister Philip Brave Davis said 583 children reportedly victims of abuse last year, emphasizing that tackling violence begins with addressing the trauma of children. Quote, violence diminishes our collective potential, erodes our communities, and casts a long shadow over future generations. Close quotes. Mr. Davis said, quote, in the Bahamas, we are painfully familiar with the cause of violence. Every year, hundreds of children endure abuse. 583 last year alone, a figure that continues to climb, close quotes. Speaking at the First National Forum on the Primary Prevention of Violence in the Bahamas yesterday at Bahama, Mr. Davis highlighted the painful reality of many children growing up in abusive and unhappy homes. He said his government is supporting mentorship programs to connect vulnerable youth with adults. I just would like to take a pause. Does anybody else need to take a pause? Does anybody else need a breath of fresh air? Okay, I'm going to continue reading. Mr. Davis also said his government is working to strengthen family structures. Y'all can't even keep the truss up. You couldn't put, keep the truss up. You brought in a prefab truss and you couldn't keep it up. But you now going to pause a moment for breath. My apologies. I'm going to continue reading from this article. Mr. Davis also said his government is working to strengthen family structures, calling a stable home one of the most powerful tools in preventing violence. That's absolutely true. Quote, if we truly want to tackle violence in our country, we must start with our children. Close quotes, Mr. Davis said. Quote, we must listen to their pain, respond to their needs, and show them that their future is not defined by their past. A hurting child doesn't have to become a dangerous adult. Close quotes. Describing violence as a public health challenge, Mr. Davis noted the prevalence of gender-based violence in the country. He highlighted the Protection Against Violence Bill 2023, legislation passed in 2023 to safeguard and support victims of violence, particularly women and children. Stick a pin. Mr. Nuri, I'd like to get back to that, if you don't mind, in our commentary. Although Mr. Davis discussed the establishment of the Protection Against Violence Commission, a body that would ensure a coordinated national response to violence by connecting healthcare providers, law enforcement, and community organizations, the commission is still not established. The Tribune has struggled to get information from officials about its status. The Protection Against Violence Commission would support victims and liaise with police officers when victims feel they lack full cooperation. The body would also recommend a national strategic plan to combat and respond to violence. It would also liaise with the minister to ensure sufficient shelters are available to victims throughout the country. In April 2024, statistics from the Department of Social Services revealed an increase in child abuse cases over the past 3 years, particularly after the COVID-19 pandemic, according to Social Services Minister Miles LaRota. In 2022, there were 319 reports of child abuse, including physical, sexual, verbal, emotional abuse, incest, neglect, and abandonment. In 2023, reports in these categories rose to 409. They increased by 110 cases. And again, these are all reported cases. We can only provide data on reported cases.
Yesterday, a number of us talk show hosts, particularly from Guardian, attended this forum, right? Howard Grant was there, you of course, myself was there. And we were able to interact with a number of the healthcare specialists and stakeholders because they had lawyers there, they had civic society there.
They had guidance counselors and teachers there, they had police officers there, they had corrections officers there as well.
It's a wide range of bohemians who are vested in
Professionals, yeah, in the space.
Yes, who are vested in protecting children, and particularly violence against bohemians in general.
Right, and so I just want to say the national, the Protection Against Violence Commission, one of its functions would be to coordinate a national response, right, to figure out how best to coordinate strategy and agencies, right? Government and NGO, non-governmental agencies to develop the best programming for a cohesive and sustainable program moving forward
and
strategy.
While we're there, because it was a time for networking and partnering also in terms of assisting and starting programs, initiating programs to help with this issue. One or two critiques I had, I wouldn't blame anyone else, that we've had these type of forums before.
Mm-hmm.
We've had a lot of talking before. And I wanted to know whether this was another talking output or it's a beginning or impetus of starting something, making some initiative. I also put the question to the people who are sitting around us,
mm-hmm.
whether domestic violence, violence against children, is cultural here. And if it's cultural, our approach to solving it must be, how do you curb culture? I wanted to have that discussion. I don't think that was brought up into the panel to say, well, this is a cultural thing. This violence is a cultural thing.
Well, not while we were there. I don't think while we were there. But looking at the schedule of events, I would presume that that element of the discussion was raised, especially at the one of the later sessions that we were unable to attend, the intergenerational panel on violence. But I think that's why this National Protection Against Violence Commission, a national coordinating agency, is so important, because I was able to put my hands on, I want to say thank you to the public servant,
yes.
that gave me access to one of to their book, right?
Yes. Give the title of the book so we go to the caller too.
The document is produced by the Ministry of Health and Wellness. It's entitled The Public Health Approach to Violence Prevention and Reduction in the Bahamas. It is a green paper document, and it is titled Rooting Out Violence, No Simple Answers, No Reactionary Measures. Now, the document itself, you ask the question, like, is this just another talking affair?
Yeah.
It depends on the capacity of the Protection Against Violence Commission to be able to facilitate individual actors coordinating programs based on the data and the policies created or derived, right, created from the data. It also will facilitate the broader coordination of agencies, both NGO and government agencies. So the document, look here, the document itself, I'm glad I teef it. I say thank you for letting me teef your book, ma'am. I'm glad I teef it. The introduction is broad and helpful. Literature review, the landscape of violence and its risk factors in the Bahamas, governance and stewardship for violence prevention, strategic work plan for violence prevention and reduction, and then a number of charts, document, like real data.
No, I just want to put that on the record so people can seek out the book. Let's go to the caller, then we can go to one or two more of these topics, too, that we can cover. Go ahead, caller, Guiding Radio AM.
Good morning, Aaron and CA. How are you all doing today?
Good morning. Thank you. Thank you for your patience.
Yeah, now I could barely hear you all, so I hope you all can hear me.
We can hear you clearly.
Okay, good. Aaron, you know, this issue of child abuse in the Bahamas, you know, let's take it for what it is. You know, successive governments over the years, they are not really serious about protecting children. Could we agree on that one?
I agree with you, because if it was my job, we'd be doing it different.
You know, we're doing it totally different, and we're not taking positive steps to address these issues. You know, when I started, I embarked on this cause to protect children in terms of identifying the legislations, looking at policies and programs that could put children in a better position. That was 21 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And listening to you conversate, you and CA, you know, it seems like it was just yesterday, like this topic. You know, but we've been doing this thing. I've been doing this thing personally for over a generation. And we've gotten nowhere positively in respect to protecting these children. When I came on the scene, the numbers, according to social services, they had an average of 450 reported cases. The numbers haven't really changed much.
Mm-hmm.
They're still the same. And then you know how statistics go. For every case that goes reported, at least four goes unreported. Mm-hmm. So you see what we're in. And these leaders, and I'm talking about not just political leaders, persons who are in authority, if they had any common sense and intelligence, they can see. Just simple research. When you look at U.S. prisons throughout the United States of America, 80% of all prison inmates were abused at some point in time as a child. So you see the direct correlation to child abuse and crime. And we say we have a crime problem.
Mm-hmm.
But we're not really looking at the root causes. And for the prime minister now to come out and talking about, to even open his mouth on child abuse, it's an insult. Because he isn't doing anything to protect these children. The people who have the concern, who are prepared to do the research, they're not putting these people in place to address this vaccine problem. You only see their ugly faces when a child gets hurt.
Okay, okay.
You see everybody putting on their sad face and frowning up in public. But then at the end of the day, when these children have been buried, what do you hear? What new legislation, what new policy or program you see put in place?
No public infrastructure improvements, right?
Nothing.
Allocation of human resources. You put Wi-Fi in the park. Could you put cameras in the park? Could you start a temporary employment program at the constituency level and stipend people to be monitors in the park, if only for the protection of young people and the elderly?
Just listen to this. They talk about, the government is complicit in this. You know, let me give you an example. They talk about kids being hungry. We got to provide breakfast. How many schools in the Bahamas in the Commonwealth of the Bahamas have a cafeteria?
Mm-hmm.
How many?
Few.
These schools have acres of land, space. You think they can't give one contract to one of their cronies to build a cafeteria in these schools?
And a real substantive cooking class, even at primary levels, could be a space to build spatial awareness, critical thinking skills, budgeting and logic skills, right? Like all of these would be called soft skills, hard to teach skills, can be gleaned and learned and directly taught, right? In a space where you teach children how to feed themselves.
Of course, you got kids right now. I was a product of Stephen Dillett. I was one of the first set of students to attend Stephen Dillett. And I came from the inner city. And I graduated 40 years ago. So that should tell you how long I've been at the primary school level. Mm-hmm. But my thing is this. It was very traumatizing to go to school without lunch. You have kids right now today in school, and that's in that type of environment. Because when you don't, the school isn't set up there. At lunchtime, you could go run around the yard and play.
Mm-hmm.
So everybody gets to see the child laying with their head on the desk with mm-hmm. no lunch.
Mm-hmm.
With no lunch.
No energy.
And for whatever reason, I don't know why these people aspire for public office if they don't have the vision, they don't have the passion to address the socioeconomic situation. All they want to concern themselves about now, these new politicians, is contracts, contracts, contracts. Contract, but they're not doing a damn thing to protect these children, man. We have to stop what we are doing and pause. Just pause for a second. If you don't want to do it, if you don't have a passion to do it, put someone in place who's prepared, who have the passion, who's doing the research to get it done.
Mm-hmm.
But we've got to do a better job than protecting these children. Is gone.
And Mr. Duncan, here's an important point I want to make. I don't think that it is offensive to hear the Prime Minister's statements because they seem trite and not substantive. Like somebody just writes you a nice little flowery speech and put some statistics in it, right? But the extent to which I, as a human rights advocate, have participated in conversations and tried to generate conversations about child protection and the issue that Nuri raised about the culture, right? And how the culture informs our policies. The number of political trolls that will step in and shut down a conversation because they confuse critical interrogation with petty partisan politics.
Exactly, Aaron. You're on your game this morning again, as usual, you know, because that's what it is.
It just, people are out here in their own pockets trying to do the work, the little work they could do with the resources that they have, and a political class that is frightened by anything that they don't see immediately as politically expedient, they shut it down. And they discredit. They don't shut it down with data and opposing viewpoints supported by statistics, you know. They shut it down by discrediting the advocates.
But that's what they do. They've been trying it with me all my life, but it doesn't faze me any no more. But let me say this to you and show how the government isn't really serious about addressing the issue concerning child abuse.
Yes, sir.
Who is the chairman right now of the Child Protection Council? Do you know, right off hand?
No, I don't.
Exactly my point. It shows how invisible they are. You know, there's only a cushy position for these people, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But they are not concerned about addressing this vexing issue. You see, you go around the inner city, Aaron,
mm-hmm.
I'll leave this with you. Let me show you something. When you go through the, and when I've been, I did this research about 13 years ago in the Farm Road area.
Mm-hmm.
When you go into that inner city area, this is what you see, which comes right back down to what we are talking about.
Mm-hmm.
When I go into the inner city, this is what I saw. I saw a lot of kids with uncertainties about their future. I saw them with lower grades academically. Then this issue concerning, what they call it when the children get older, they call it conflict resolution. But you know what I see at their tender age?
Mm-hmm.
I see children having difficulties relating to their parents.
Mm-hmm.
Then this issue of underage promiscuity among the young people.
Mm-hmm.
You have a bad day, just take a look at these underage girls who are being impregnated by perhaps adults.
Mm-hmm.
Again, you see single parent home, these homes, a lot of these homes are spearheaded by single parents.
Mm-hmm.
The biological fathers have the most difficult time to access their children. Then the statistics already show that stepfathers, boyfriends, family friends, whatever you want to call them, they're ones who are four times more likely to sexually abuse children in their care than the biological fathers.
Mm-hmm.
I can go on forever, but for whatever reason, I don't know what it is. Maybe it could be reprobate minds. I don't know by these leaders, but it seems as if that they take great pleasure in seeing children get hurt. Because if it was not the case, if it wasn't the case, you would have seen an aggressive approach, similar to how they are putting pressure on these doctors. Every day the Prime Minister and I are speaking out.
Mm-hmm.
He has a passion for this. Where is the passion to protect our nation's children, my brother?
Thank you.
If people, but you all take care, okay?
Thank you. That is Cleaver Duncombe, child and father's rights advocate and activist.
Yes, and I appreciate him calling in and weighing in on the conversation. Another thing that I noticed in the news, I see we have another caller there too.
And you get some texts.
Today is the 17th.
Yeah.
Today's supposed to be MP's Day. And it's been canceled.
What do you mean MP?
I can let you read the whole ad. Described ad.
Okay.
I thought it was going to be an interesting concept.
The first thing I like about this ad, there are no MPs in it.
Okay.
I mean, maybe a future MP. This young face, although the face looks AI generated, young black Bahamian face may be a future MP. So it says Progressive Liberal Party MP's Day celebrating community. Location, Carnival Grounds, Clifford Park, January 17th, 2025, 4 p.m. until. Join your Member of Parliament for a fun-filled day at the Carnival Grounds. Enjoy games, activities, and entertainment for all ages, perfect for family and friends. Free admission.
Free admission.
Oh, wait. Hold on. Why it say in small print under free admission with invitation with a star?
You mean with invitation?
That's what it say. It's a big free admission. That's what caught me. And then right beneath it, like small, it's a with invitation with a little star. Could I have a moment?
Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
Dear MP Adrian White, you ain't got no invite, eh? You an MP? They give you any invitation, sir? I just need you to hold one for me.
I thought it was a Progressive Liberal Party.
It's a MP's Day. Is it wrong of me to presume that the Progressive Liberal Party organized an MP's Day in concert with all of the MPs?
Mm-hmm.
Is it wrong of me?
No.
You suggesting to me that these boys then put out a flyer and they telling people come to the carnival and celebrate with your MP, but my MP may not be there because he's not a PLP and he wasn't invited?
Anyway, I reached out.
That's what the with invitation is for? If you were MP and you didn't get invited, don't show up and definitely don't bring your constituents?
I reached out and I was told they were not. Various MPs were not aware that this was happening. So this might be of a private person lobbying for this. Anyway, it has been canceled. But it seems
how could it be canceled if it wasn't happening?
It wasn't. Well, they had a cancel sign.
I know my MP was going to call me and tell me he have an invitation for all of us.
Yeah. Let's go to the caller. I thought it was an interesting concept, especially if all the MPs
were
there.
Oh, wait, hold on. I know you're going to the caller. As you go to the caller, there's another article here. Because MP's Day is a thing. Bishop Laish Boyd was speaking at a parliamentary church service.
Can we go to that?
Yeah.
Good day, caller. Are you there?
Yes. Good morning.
Good morning. Happy MP's Day.
Good morning to both of you.
Good morning.
I agree, Ms. Green and Mr. Newry. I do agree. The passion for children's safety is not there. You remember when that poor child, I hate to think of it, was slaughtered, Miss Moxie,
Adriel,
few months ago?
Yes.
Remember?
Yes.
Majority Bahamians were too busy worrying about John Quayle Jones' private business. That was during the same time there was so much talk and this one giving their opinion on, oh, she shouldn't have done this. And the poor child was crying in the bushes for help.
Yes, ma'am?
This is, you know, we really need to get passionate about children. Those who cannot defend themselves.
Yes.
Have a great day.
Ma'am, thank you very much.
Thank you very much, ma'am. I appreciate it. Leif Wide, the bishop, said something recently. What are you talking about?
Yes, I'm going to pull it up. It is in...
Okay, while you look for that, let's go to the next caller.
I get it.
You get it?
Yeah, but go to the caller. I have it.
Producer. Go ahead, caller. Can you hear us?
Yes, good morning, Mr. Nuri and Ms. Green.
Morning.
Yeah, I loved my good friend Cleveland Duncombe input just now, right?
Mm-hmm.
But I just wanted to piggyback of that for 1 second and just reemphasize or highlight the fact that he's so correct in the fact that this neglect goes just beyond child abuse. It goes, I like how you mentioned the lack of cafeterias and track and field and other sports infrastructure, hence a waste of talent within the inner city and the proliferation of delinquency, right? Delinquencies. And so I was supposed to tell you this from the last show we were talking sports and it slipped my mind. But one of the evidence that they don't really care about the children is that at Yellow Elder Primary, right, there is a 15-mile-per-hour speed limit. And over, especially this morning, I was very upset. I saw an imbecile, a mindless, kindless, spineless imbecile behind a vehicle, right, actually overtaking in the speed zone, making about, let's say, about 40 miles an hour, actually overtaking in that zone.
Mm-hmm.
And so if we don't curtail the mentality of these imbeciles behind these wheels, the government can collect a lot. The government, Aaron, everybody has a cell phone. Every fool has a cell phone behind. It's engrossed in a cell phone driving. I went to New Life yesterday, and I wanted to avoid some people, so I went on the opposite side, and the guy was in the car. He was a Rasta also, but he was engrossed in the phone, and so his foot was, I don't know if the car was in, yeah, I'm not God, but he proceeded to move the minute I went in the front of the car.
Mm-hmm.
I got into a little quick dialogue with him, and I tell him, I said, Rasta, you've been bigger than that. Don't let technology turn you into a fool.
Mm-hmm.
And so what I'm saying is, me at 60 and born without this BS, right? I just can't accept that everybody's riding around with a cell phone. And you know, Aaron, when they hit your car, right?
Mm-hmm.
They don't have no insurance.
Mm-hmm.
No financial endurance. That is the sick part about it, Aaron Green.
And then they threaten to do your that's things up with your children in the car with you.
No, but Aaron, we need to focus on obeying the speed limit within the school zone, especially on Blue Road, because that guy is an imbecile.
Yeah.
He shouldn't even be behind the wheel.
Absolutely.
They should get serious about suspending driver's license. And whatever they need to do, I hear people crying over with the government. Listen, when it comes to traffic laws and enforcing traffic laws, I don't care what they do, Aaron, because the imbecility is ridiculous. Hey, listen, Aaron, it's not right. They're subjecting us to get violent with other people on the road.
Mm-hmm.
It's not right.
They're
leaving us to fend for ourselves.
They're allowing terrorists to terrorize ordinary and regular citizens. Mr. Nuri, what's the name of the school just north of Carter Street at the end of the hill there? What's the name of the school there?
C.C. Sweeney.
Yeah. Did you know that at the top of Carter Street there's a stop sign?
No, that's...
No, not C.C. Sweeney. Yeah, the primary school, right?
The name escapes me. Yeah, it's a primary school. I still remember what it is.
So approximately less than 100 yards, less than a football field from the intersection of Carter Street and that's Farrington Road right there?
Yes.
Did you know there was a stop sign there?
Yes, I know there's a stop sign there.
Did you notice that how many people actually stopped there?
Few.
Do you know who doesn't stop there? Red plates, blue and white plates, regular plates, green and white plates, yellow and black plates, white and black plates, white and blue plates. Did I say red and white plates? Then they said the government plates. Then the vehicles with their company names clearly emblazoned on it. That's less than 100 yards away from a school. And then let's go to Nassau Street where the people them like to park their 18-wheeler on the sidewalk on top of the pedestrian crossing right outside the school on a regular basis. And then let's go to C.R. Walker, right? Where they're called, what's the name of the
school?
School Lane?
School Lane.
Imagine the road is called School Lane, and y'all act like you have the right to run the stop sign into the school zone, like you in the school zone, and you have no regard for the right of way. But do you have regard for the children who walk down that sidewalk to get to school? Do you have regard for the many children who use that bus route to get to school? And it's odd, not just by schools, by important government buildings as well. Like, could you ever been on, what's that, Post Office Hill Street?
Where? East Hill Street?
That's it, East Hill Street? That ain't Post Office Hill Street?
No, East Hill Street.
Yeah, I call it Post Office Hill Street my whole life. East Hill Street. The number of entities on that street whose primary concern is compliance. Compliance, you know. Compliance. The Bahamas Mortgage Corporation, you got the trusts and you got all kind of big money people whose primary concern is compliance. You can't beg these people to not park in the disabled parking spots. You can't beg these people to stop at stop signs. You can't beg them, but their primary concern is compliance. Mm-hmm.
Let's go to the next caller there. Go ahead, producer.
Well, good morning.
Good morning.
Nuri.
How you doing, sir?
And, Aaron Green.
Good morning, sir.
You remember, I don't know, about a decade ago, maybe a little less. I've been saying forever, especially to you, Aaron, that we have a 24-hour day highway patrol. And let me tell you, you would make so much money with the infractions and the offenses that you just spoke to, that you'd be able to pay off the national debt and get rid of the VAT.
Mm-hmm.
But you won't do it.
They won't let me.
Why don't you do it?
They won't let me, Graham.
But then you need to put on one of them fancy shades and start.
Just doing it myself, eh?
No, because you see, I actually spent probably $1.40 on this phone call.
Yeah, yeah, don't do that.
And it was a waste of money.
No, it wasn't.
Everybody, it's a waste of money. 10 years I've been telling you, do the highway patrol in the
but
city.
But Graham, if you do the highway patrol in the city, then you and the other scooterists gonna have to follow the road law?
I don't mind.
Okay, good.
In my lane, but on the right side of my lane.
Good stuff.
Now, let's move on. Yeah. Look, my vehicle license. How much money would you make on just infractions alone?
Mm-hmm.
So enforcement. You don't want order and decorum. And we don't want it, and the public has seen that we don't want it in the House of Assembly, where we don't have order and decorum. So what example have you set for us?
Thank you, Mr.
Weatherford. I'll leave you with this thought.
Yes.
24-hour day, highway patrol, you know peak traffic times, you have at least four officers with body cams. It only is going to take a few thousand dollars more to get every police a body cam in this country, okay, because we don't want illegal write-ups.
Yeah.
And let me tell you, on that traffic light alone, anybody go over the white line?
Yes.
On an amber light?
That's $250.
What, $250?
That's what the fine is now.
$1,000 in the United States.
Mm-hmm.
So since you want to be American, if you go over the yellow line and the light is yellow, it's not that, oh, I can beat this red. See, and what happens is the light go red and you got nine cars in the middle of the intersection, so the next side can't move.
Mm-hmm.
And that causes pandemonium. But a traffic, a 24-hour day, highway patrol, you'd have smoothness going on around here. But we don't want that. We as pirates day was and pirates day is.
Man.
That was Woods Rogers. Have a good one.
Listen, don't be talking because I can't, Graham. The commerce that they restored was piracy. I used to like Woods Rogers until I found out who he was. Mr. Newry. Headline upon headline upon headline. Boyd, I sometimes hung my head with disappointment over MP's behavior. Another headline, funeral homes taking action over money owed by RBPF. Another headline, PM requests for more details regarding indictment unanswered by U.S. officials. Today's Tribune, violence interrupter program has not progressed as intended. Judge says country lacks psychiatric care facilities. Oh, and today's business section in The Guardian, Mr. Newry. No, yesterday's business section. Halkidas, government not wedded to bi-monthly salary payments. Another important headline, CPC, that's the Consumer Protection Commission recovered 27% of claims lodged by consumers. Another important headline, CIBC warns customers of text messaging scam. Another headline, National Cybersecurity Strategy and CRTBS highlighted at conference. This story I'm very interested in. Hopefully on Monday we could talk about it because I could tell you why. See, the difference between an entrepreneur, right, and a criminal is how fast you are. Can you establish your operations before they establish the laws? Because if you could establish your operations before they establish the laws, likely the laws will be established based on your operation. You know who I learned that from? The boy who will send the rockets up. The boy who will send the rockets up, he smells musky. He smells musky. Anyway, if y'all don't want to become AI experts, then maybe I shall become AI experts. Mr. Newry, let's get to the text line after all of those headlines. Good morning, CA. Imagine if this was a father doing this to this little boy or girl. How serious would the police have taken this? I hope that the government takes her son away and never gives him back. If this was the state, she would be a sex offender for life.
Definitely the country would be in an uproar. I mean, there was concern. There are a number of personalities who lend their name and ask for people to turn in information.
Mm-hmm.
But I think if it was a male, the country's going to be still talking about it. It's going to be in the front pages still. Unfortunately, not. We're going to take a quick break.
No, we're not.
Yeah, we're going to take a break.
No, we're not. Great show as usual. We too stupid for social media. Great show as usual. If you run the red light, you need to get cane. Sir, we at the 11:59 hour.
Is 11:59 ready?
Yes, there's another text. Tell Graham technology does what he wants manpower to do. Let's fix the Bahamas. Last text. Aaron, I was involved in a violent traffic accident on which I jumped in a vehicle of the guy who hit my car and attempted to ride off. This was about 26 years ago. Wow, texter, I am glad that you are okay.
It's now 12 o'clock. I didn't even realize what time it was. Today's Friday.
Mm-hmm.
That means we're going to have a break until Monday. I see you Monday.
Me and you, but stay tuned Saturday for a full day and Sunday, a weekend of shows.
Yes. Have a wonderful day.
Love the show? Want to give your support? Become a sponsor today. Call 302-2300 for our rates and packages. That's 302-2300. Become a sponsor on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Streaming on guardiantalkradio.com and the Guardian Radio app, Nassau, Bahamas.